are listening to Up to Me Radio, the best in inspirational talk radio. It's up to me.
From story to story, journey to journey, we podcast. This is us, Beacons of Hope. Welcome to Up to Me Radio. I'm Melinda Davis, executive producer, and I want to thank you for tuning in as we present Pandemic, God Has Prepared Us. Are you listening? This will be a three-part roundtable series starring all Up to Me Radio show hosts. We have a phenomenal roundtable panel, but first, let me introduce you to your moderators. Kim Crable, a guiding light to what can be, and a beacon of hope as the host of the Coffee with Kim radio show. Kim is the founder and director of Roses and Rainbows Ministries, a nonprofit to help others use past hurts to become a voice of God's hope. Kim is also the author of 8 books and the author of the award-winning Burdens to Blessings, the 8-week transformation journey to healing. Kim is also the television show host of Coffee with Kim TV, airing on 7 major faith-based television networks. And Maura Gale, a spiritual midwife, helping others birth their visions, a beacon of hope as the host of OMG, Oh, Maura Gale radio show. Maura is a producer and an actor. Her upcoming feature film places her opposite Lawrence Fishburne as his wife in Brother's Keeper. Or you may have seen her on Dynasty, Saints and Sinners, Bigger, Amazing Stories, or in Their Eyes Are Watching God, produced by Oprah Winfrey. Maura is a keynote speaker, an MC, the author of 2 books, Beyond Blessed and The Anointed Agenda. She's also the producer of 2 spoken word CDs, Air Candy and Ride Rosa Ride. And she's also the producer of the award-winning film, now on DVD, Stem the Movement, also known as Test Her Monies. Join me in welcoming our 2 moderators, Kim Crable and Maura Gale. Welcome, ladies.
Thank you. Thank you so much. It's such a delight to be here and to be doing this with Maura. And so honored. And Melinda, we all want to pause and just thank you for giving us this opportunity. We're really looking at this time in our pandemic and realizing that there needs to be a conversation. And so to be in the midst of such incredible people that are going to be able to share their wisdom is going to be unbelievable. So listeners, I hope that you'll grab your pencils, your notepads, and be prepared to take lots of notes. The Bible says, give instruction to a wise man and he will be wiser. I will guarantee you that these conversations, this 3-part series that we have planned, will make each and every one of us wiser. And hopefully it will bring us to a point of understanding where we'll know what to do with our world a little bit better. So as we begin tonight, I just want our first part, we're going to try to answer the question, what happened? What happened? We have incredible knowledge here that's going to be able to take us to the point of, you know, what has happened that's changing our world? It's changing our global views, our nation, our homes, and yeah, even our hearts. going to talk about that, how it's changing our hearts. How is this pandemic affecting us as we are now faced with the physical, the mental, the spiritual, and the social issues? So listeners, we invite you to find yourself in the midst of this conversation. Learn what you need to learn so that we can all walk through this and come out of it wiser so that we truly can make our world a better place, much better than what it is right now. So without any further ado, we want to bring on our wise guest tonight. And our first is Dr. Scott, but I am going to give this over to Mara, my co-host, my incredible co-host, to bring in our first guest today. Again, Mara, it's such a delight to be with you tonight.
Oh, I'm super excited to be sharing the platform as co-moderator with you, Kim Crable, none other like you. So excited to be a part of it. And as Kim just shared with you guys, this is the first section, and we call this part the unrest. You know, we want to know, with all of this confusion and the restlessness and the hurt and the loss, we really want to kind of tap in to find out, you know, what happened, what upended us, right? And what better way to begin this conversation of unrest than to speak with a doctor, one on the front lines. And so it is with great honor and a privilege that I have an opportunity to introduce to you Dr. Scott Clitheroe. Now, he's a hospital-based physician whose main focus is keeping people healthy and out of the hospital. And in case you didn't hear me, that means this is a doctor who would much rather prefer that you stay outside of the hospital, even though his occupation and his profession and his financial security in terms of getting a paycheck comes from the hospital, because he cares about you that much. And so tonight he's going to have a conversation with us, and we asked each of our guests to give us a word, and his word is COVID. And so in the midst of this pandemic, we want to open up the floor and allow Dr. Scott to share with us a little bit about what this COVID pandemic means and is. So welcome to the conversation, Dr. Scott Clitheroe.
Thanks, Mara. It's great to be here. Thank you for the kind words too. I really appreciate it. Yeah, I really appreciate the opportunity to kind of share with our listeners and viewers what exactly all this is, you know, going on. It is a pandemic, and you know, that word means a worldwide disease process, infectious in nature. And you know, where did it start? Well, it looks like it started in late 2019. That's why it's called COVID-19, and it's caused by a virus. And the virus is a severe acute respiratory syndrome, coronavirus number 2. So SARS-CoV-2, when you hear that term, that's actually talking about what the virus is called. And it's called 2 because there's been a similar one that occurred back in 2002, 2003 in Eastern Asia. And it was similar but different in this one particular important way, in that this has been so severe because it looks like there's asymptomatic transmission. What does that mean? Well, that means that people are spreading it before they have symptoms. You know, the one back in 2003, and then there was one called MERS for Middle Eastern Respiratory Syndrome back in 2009 or 10. That was one that was spread only when the patient was symptomatic, so it was able to be contained pretty quickly. This one, as you most of our listeners know, can be spread before a patient gets symptomatic. So that's why we've been stressing all the ways that can protect one another by wearing a mask, washing your hands, isolating, staying away from each other, getting tested if you're sick, staying away from each other when you're symptomatic. But again, frankly, even when you're not symptomatic, you know, I guess everybody's aware of the news, how in the initial phase of this, of course, it started in China. It looks like it came over from bats, which is a common way for viruses to enter into the human realm. And then it spread across the globe because of the nature of our society now. It started in Wuhan, and they were able to contain it. And then it spread to Europe. Italy was hard hit, Spain. And then it got to America, and it was really severe in the Northeast, as we all know, just really horrible stories of hospital crowding and death and illness. And then it kind of started to go down the Northeast. Everybody was kind of excited. We were all sheltering in place. And then, of course, as we know now, there's been a second spike, if you will, in the southern tier states. And you know, it's really the same virus. It's just that we have tried to open up our economy and our society. And unfortunately, people have been spreading it back and forth with, you know, basic things like person-to-person transmission. I think it's important to know, our listeners to know, that the main source of transmission is droplets. When we talk, when we laugh, when we sneeze, when we cough, when we sing, those are ways that the virus can be transmitted via our droplets. It then can incubate from 2 to 10 to 14 days in our body before we get symptoms or not. So that's why sometimes people are in that pre-syndrome phase where they have the virus, but they're spreading it. So it's really important. There's other ways it can spread. It probably can be spread by aerosolization, which is where the virus kind of hangs in the air for longer in microscopic forms. That's the way measles is also spread in ways. And also maybe by surfaces. You've heard about people washing your hands and disinfecting things. That's probably not as an important way to transmit, but it still is important. And we know that some people who are very susceptible to infections can get it that way. So it, even though you may not have heard as much about washing your hands lately, it's still important. But I would say the most important thing to remember is whenever you're out and about, wear a mask. Now, you don't have to necessarily wear a mask when you're out in the outside exercising, but it still is important to remain 6 feet away from people to wear a mask whenever you're indoors with people that you're not quarantining with. So there's so much to be said about this. I think there's been a lot of misinformation, but then again, really the same thing's been hammered over and over, which is wear your mask, stay 6 feet apart, cover your mouth with your elbow, cover your sneeze, wash your hands frequently, disinfect surfaces. Those things have remained true throughout this whole pandemic.
I do have a question for you. The emotional toll of this pandemic that it's taken on our healthcare professionals is truly tremendous. So if there were something that you would say keeps you up most nights, when you think about the doctors and the nurses, what would that be?
Yeah, you know, certainly from a personal standpoint, Mara, I've been around sick patients for many years, over 20 years. I've been a practicing physician and I've been around patients with tuberculosis and many things. And, you know, I take my precautions, but, you know, a lot of healthcare workers are very concerned about bringing it home to their family. That's a great stress. You know, we want to stay healthy ourselves, but we worry about bringing it home to our families. And, you know, it's stressful to go to the hospital and take care of these patients because you know, there's just the stress of these patients being very sick, but then having to wear all this personal protective equipment, or PPE for short. It's somewhat taxing. But I'll say one thing I think our listeners should really remember as they start to make these choices about whether they should wear a mask or not, is that one of the reasons why we wanted to flatten that curve, remember that term, we wanted to try to keep the cases that had to be hospitalized from spiking up, is that you really don't want to overrun the hospitals. Why? Well, it's kind of obvious, but I think it's important for patients to hear, folks to hear this, is that you really want, if you're really sick, you want trained intensive care doctors and nurses taking care of you. And if we overrun the system, we may have to call in physicians and nurses that aren't used to taking care of critically ill patients. And I think even though they're going to mean well, they may not be able to provide quite the excellent care because of just lack of practice, you know, and that has been a problem in other parts of the world. And I think we've avoided it so far in this country, but you know, that's a concern, is that, you know, we would maybe overrun the system and you'd be having maybe less qualified healthcare professionals having to take care of you, maybe in places that are not ICUs. Maybe we have to use outside hospitals or other wards which aren't really equipped for ICU. So I think it's really important for y'all for everybody to remember that it's a stressful thing for the healthcare workers, but it also could be very stressful for the population if it becomes a situation where we're kind of overrunning the capacity of each individual hospital system.
Dr. Scott, I have a question. One of the things that I've noticed with my ministry, 90% are women, about 10% men. But one of the things that I've noticed is all the peripheral type of things that we're dealing with. I get many, many calls. Our staff have been really busy with the addiction rates. You know, people are falling, you know, turning back toward addictions, the stress, the domestic violence is up almost 25%. That's staggering to me. Suicide, the rates, and I'm not telling you anything, but for the listener to really understand and hear this, the only number that's really declined is the amount of child abuse cases, and that's really not good news, we're told, because the kids are not in school, so there's no one to report the abuse. So I think that we have a lot of people, perhaps, that are at home thinking, dealing with these types of situations, and almost feel bad or guilty because they're dealing with this, because there's so many people with the physical. Could you speak to them about maybe shattering the silence and not feeling guilty or regretful about all these other things that this disease is bringing on to us?
Kim, that's such a great point. You know, really, we're all in this together, right? I mean, with God's help and with His grace, we're going to get through this, but we all are in this together. And so if you're able to shelter in place and you're able to work from home, that's good. Be grateful for that. And you know, make sure that you reach out to those that aren't quite so lucky, that may be living alone, who are lonely, or who are having financial issues. It's very important that I think we take care of each other from a social standpoint, because like Beth and I talk about quite a bit on our show, stress affects your health. And so if you're under stress, if you're worried, if you're not sleeping, that's going to affect your immune response, and it's going to make you more susceptible to this disease and others. You know, one thing, Ken, we've talked a lot about, is that folks are avoiding healthcare for other reasons because they're afraid to access the healthcare system. So we're seeing more heart attacks and strokes. Well, you still got to take care of yourself. And it's really important that we stay safe from a COVID standpoint, but also continue to maintain our health. And that includes our mental health. So, you know, meditation, prayer, talking to friends, you know, even though we can't get together maybe in the way we used to share fellowship, we can still share fellowship virtually by phone or by Zoom and things like that. It's really important, I think, that we stick together because, you know, like you said earlier, we're going to get through this, and it's heartbreaking and it's life changing. But if we look at it the right way, we can get some new habits, get some healthy habits, reach out, maybe learn what it means or relearn what it means to give and to think outside of ourselves. I think that's really important.
Absolutely. Dr. Scott, I don't want to monopolize the time. So if anybody else on the panel, I do want our listeners to know that we're going to be posting hotline numbers, the National Suicide Prevention, National Domestic Violence, the National Parent Hotline and Child Abuse. So listeners, those will be on there. And please don't allow yourself to feel victimized, that you shouldn't be feeling the way that you feel. And I think that's so important. One of the things, Dr. Scott, that I want to mention to you, and then I'll open it up. I feel like I'm dominating, but I just would love your knowledge, and I love what you're saying. But one of the things that you refer to is your faith and God and prayer. And I have to hit on that. How important is that to you during this time, and how is that affecting you as a physician walking in and caring for all of these people?
Well, Kim, it's incredibly important to me. It's how I try to go through life, try to be fearless, and not in a way that's bravado, but just be understanding that I am taken care of, that it's going to be okay no matter what. And I try to convey that to my patients, and I convey it to them in a confidence, but also in a reassurance. I think that's so important. And I know that healthcare can be so impersonal, but one of the reasons I actually like hospital medicine, and yes, I am trying to work myself out of a job because I would love to, for people to stay healthy and stay home, but you know, we are needed in the hospital. And I think it's really nice to be able to just sit down and visit with people. And right now with the COVID thing, a lot of the patients are isolated because they can't have visitors, and for other reasons, of course. So that human touch, that physical touch, that just personal touch is so important to me. But from a personal standpoint, of course I worry about my family. I worry about my friends and my colleagues and just, you know, humanity in general, but I know we're going to be okay. And I know deep down that God has a plan, and God never gives us anything we can't handle. Right. You know, and I think it's really important to keep that in mind. And I just really feel strongly about that. You know, Beth and I have had a show on about meditation, and, you know, we're careful. We want to make sure that we include everybody that, and certainly I don't try to push my religion on folks who don't bring it up. And I just talk about my spirituality in general. But when a patient brings up the fact that they believe in God, I go, well, then he's the doctor. He's the one that guides me. I'm working through him. And, you know, you believe in that, I believe in that. And he's the ultimate healer. And we're going to work together with his guidance and love. And that's, I feel very strongly about that.
And we feel very fortunate that we have physicians in our hospitals that are such men of integrity as you, and faith-based. And and I will throw it over to Mara. Mara, you know, one of the things I realized that we did not tell our audience about Dr. Scott and Beth's radio show.
That's true. They have a radio show called Healthier View. And the beautiful thing about this Healthier View is, of course, Beth, his co-host, talks about the wellness in terms of holistic approaches. And of course, Dr. Scott brings the Western medicine to the table. So it's a phenomenal show. And of course, as always, and with all of the guests that you are hearing today, and we'll be hearing over the next couple of days throughout this roundtable discussion, you can follow them at our Up to Me Radio page and get more information and continue the conversation. Dr. Scott's knowledge does not stop at the end of this conversation. You can ask questions, you can call in, and you can hear even more, a broader view of different subjects, because the best weapon we can have, especially now, is information. When you're informed and you're educated, you're better able to make wise choices that not only benefit you, but benefit your family, those you love, and even the stranger that you may happen to come in contact with. So I'm going to open it up and find out if any of our other show hosts have a question for Dr. Scott. And if so, we'll go ahead and get those in while we've got this knowledge at our disposal. Let's go ahead and tap into it.
And while they're thinking of those questions, I have to say this. Okay, I have a new tagline for your show, Dr. Scott. I heard Mara say, a broader view for a broader view for a healthier you.
That's nice. I love how she just pulls stuff. It's like she's able to pull juice out of the air like a humidifier. You know how they take all the water out and they make it into something good? Kim does that. She hears a word, she hears a nugget, and it all of a sudden becomes a phrase. Bless the Lord.
Words. I love words, but
I love that. We're gonna use that. I love it.
Yeah, you better write that down, Scott. Dr. Scott, write that down.
I'll put it together. Gail has a question.
Yeah, I guess at the beginning of the pandemic, as it started to open up and more people were affected, they were referring to it as the coronavirus, and then it switched to the COVID-19. So I'm a little confused about, is there a difference, and why was the name change?
Well, it may have not been changed, but just was used different ways. So COVID-19 refers to the actual disease process. So it's basically a coronavirus disease, COVID-19, because it was first identified in China in December of 2019. Now, one thing that's interesting, and I'm sure we'll learn more about this over the years, but they took some serum that was saved from some really sick people in France, I believe Paris, from December. One gentleman was very ill, and he had not left Paris or France for many months. And they actually tested a serum, and it was positive for coronavirus too. So they basically know that it's been at least since 19. So COVID-19 is the name of the disease. And then SARS-CoV-2, like I said earlier, is the actual virus. So yeah, kind of interchanging, but to technically, when we take care of a patient, when we say what they have COVID-19 due to SARS-CoV-2. It's kind of complicated, and there's many coronaviruses. We know of at least five, and we know that that's been a source of the common cold, and never been a problem until 2002 when SARS-CoV-1 hit, and then the MERS virus in the Middle East hit, and those were both coronaviruses. So we've kind of had doctors and epidemiologists have known that these coronaviruses can get severe. And this one, obviously, like I said earlier, changed because it was transmitted while it was with asymptomatic patients. So,
got it. Thank you.
Yeah, sure.
Dr. Scott, what's also interesting is, of course, it became a pandemic because back in the day, we weren't traveling as much in and out of China to Europe, et cetera. And so now, because we freely get on planes going in and going out, it's truly caused this pandemic. And the interesting thing, of course, as we've all come to realize during this pandemic, is that when one country is short on supplies, all of the countries can be short on supplies. So have you, in my last couple of minutes that I'll ask you this, has your hospital experienced that, where you were at a shortage for some of the PPE, some of the equipment that you needed? Was that a challenge at your specific hospital?
It was, although we got lucky because initially there was a little bit of a concern at one of the, we work at different hospital systems, and there was a little bit of a concern, but luckily again, because we all sheltered in place and flattened the curve, we had time to get those supply chains ramped up. Of course, as we've heard in other parts of the world, and including New York City, that wasn't the case. And folks were having to reuse N95 masks and shields and, you know, not ideal. So yes, that's been a problem. I would say that now, luckily, I think the world supply has caught up, and I have not heard of many shortages, thankfully. Thankfully, that's so important to say that, you know, there's plenty of room and plenty of supplies. One thing that I think is interesting to reflect on, and doesn't March seem like about 3 years ago? But at the beginning of March, I remember the Surgeon General of the United States was saying, you know, not to wear masks, and people don't go hoarding masks. And people are like, wait, what was he talking about? And he meant it well. He was just saying that at that time, there was such a great concern that healthcare workers wouldn't be able to wear the masks in the hospital to protect their patients and themselves from each other, that they were worried about the supply. So everybody should hear that that was why he said that. And he didn't even that time mean that it wasn't important to do it. Although I think we've learned that it's really important, but we have plenty of masks. Everybody make sure either whether it's homemade or store-bought, wear a mask, and we're okay in the hospital for now. Of course, another reason to keep flattening the curve until we get that vaccine is because we could outrun the supply again. We could outrun the supply of PPE and of hospital beds and ICU doctors and nurses. So everybody flatten the curve, keep flattening the curve, you know.
So Dr. Scott, I have one more question. And I know that we're totally overextending your time, and thank you for being gracious with us. But, you know, we're all watching the news. We're seeing what started as the pandemic still continues, but now we're seeing such a social unrest. I can't not ask you this in the midst of all this. From your medically trained mind, and your spiritually engaged heart, what would be your thoughts to our listeners? What's our part? I mean, what I would love to hear your perspective on where do we go? What can we do right now to be a positive? You know, God calls us to be ambassadors of His grace and His love. What do we do? What would you tell our listeners? What would you tell us as a panel?
Well, Kim, that's a great point and great question. And, you know, I think from a medical standpoint, again, you know, I think we need to think outside of ourselves. Like, you know, God and Jesus told us, you know, think of others and, you know, reach out to people. Especially when you start to feel really scared, think about social justice. Think about social justice on a personal scale. Call that elderly person that doesn't have anybody to look after them. Check on them, you know. Make sure you check in with your family members and that, and, you know, and again, I really, when I see somebody with a mask on, that's an act of love. That is an act of, I love you so much that I'm going to wear this mask, and it may be an inconvenience to me and people can't see my beautiful face, but I love you so much that I'm going to wear this mask at Home Depot or the grocery store or wherever. And so I really feel like, you know, we all just need to start thinking that, yeah, this is not great. It's affected a lot of our plans, but it's going to be okay. And it's going to be over. It's going to be a bad memory someday. And we're lucky if we just get through this with some inconvenience and not the loss of a loved one or the loss of ourselves. And I just really feel like we can just remember that, just take care of each other, do the things that the experts tell you, listen to them. I promise you that us doctors and epidemiologists, we're not just trying to ruin your day. We are really want to try to keep you away from the hospital and safe and sound. And then eventually we're going to look back on this and be able to hug again and sing and praise in churches and get together, you know. And if you have to go, and one more thing, Kim, I think we talked about this on a call previously, but, you know, if you feel the need to protest because of some of the social injustices, you know, you got to follow your heart, but just wear that mask and keep moving. You know, I really feel like outside is safer than inside. And if you feel the need to protest, wear your mask, maybe wear goggles or something to protect your eyes and just keep moving. But, you know, follow your heart when it comes to changing the world for the better, whatever that means to you, do it. And I think that's good for your health.
Yes, very good. Absolutely. I didn't get to touch on it. If you could just give a one sentence kind of, or a couple of sentences about the disparities. Are you seeing many more, we've heard it on the news, more African Americans and people of color actually presenting with COVID symptoms? Could you just talk a little bit as to why that is perhaps, and what we can do to perhaps minimize some of it going forward? I failed to ask you that early enough.
That's great question, Mara. You know, yes, the percentage of COVID infections in the Hispanic population, especially here in Austin, is much higher than their general representation of the population, and the same with African Americans. And you know, there's many reasons for that. There may be some, you know, genetic reasons or immune response reasons for that. That's going to take years to figure out. But you know, we know that people, if they're of a lower socioeconomic status, they can't stay home. They have to go to work. Maybe they can't socially isolate, especially in a multifamily household where there may be not that much room to put one person away in one room where they can quarantine in one room while they're sick. So there's a lot of reasons for that. So again, I think, you know, depending on what your blood type is or what your skin color is or your ethnicity, the same thing applies. But I do think it's important to remember that you are at a higher risk if you have certain medical issues. And that's also one thing, we see a higher rate of diabetes and heart disease in certain ethnicities. So certainly, again, back to what Beth and I talk about all the time, take care of yourself. You know, make sure your weight's okay. Watch your blood pressure. Eat right. Get plenty of sleep and all that. And you'll be able to maybe reduce your risks. But then if you have to go work like I do every day, you know, be safe. Wear your mask. Wash your hands. Keep moving. Stay 6 feet apart. All those things. But yeah, that's a great point. And I'll just say one more thing. I know I've gone over my time, but guys, a vaccine's coming. And, you know, that's another thing. There's a kind of an anti-vaccine movement, and this is not the time to talk about that. And I think that it's important for all of us to know that these people that are making these vaccines, it's I think it's like Apollo 12. I think this is like the moonshot of our generation. These guys and gals are working day and night doing things that have taken 5, 10, 20 years to do. They're going to do it in a year. And, you know, Dr. Fauci, who's not prone to hyperbole, he said publicly that he thinks we'll have a vaccine by the end of the year, the first of next year. Unbelievable. And so I think that sometime next year, we're all going to be able to get vaccinated, and this is going to get back to normal. So everybody just hang in there, take it day by day, love on each other, and be confident that we can get through this together.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much, Dr. Scott Clitheroe. We really appreciate your wealth of knowledge. I hope our listeners and or viewers were paying attention and taking notes. I want to just pass this on to Kim Crable, but not before I repeat a phrase you said: wearing a mask, you consider, is an act of love. Yeah. So let's be that extension of love, not just for ourselves and for our loved ones, but let's be that extension of love to keep our healthcare professionals safe and to be a ripple in the pond that will extend far beyond the people we know. Thank you so much for your wisdom and your time. And now I'd like to bring on my fabulous co-facilitator, Kim Crable. She's going to introduce our next guest, and we're going to continue this conversation. And again, I'm so honored that we get this wealth of information right before. So go ahead, Kim, why don't you take it away?
Absolutely. Thank you. And again, I'd just like to thank Dr. Scott and for all the information. And I know we could go on and on and on, and I'm just going to make it official right now. I'd like to invite you on to my radio show for a full hour, and I'm sure every other co-host is going to do that as well. But thank you. And for our viewers, please check out the radio. It's called Healthier View on Up to Me Radio. So thank you again. And I also, again, like to just thank you for your service to all of us in the hospital, and just thank you for being the person that you are, and ending on such a wonderful note of hope. And boy, don't we all need that hope right now. Mm-hmm. All right, well, listeners, I hope that you are sharpen your pencil. We have our next guest coming on. You're going to love this lady. She is a friend. She also has her own radio show. It's called It's Our Time. Her name is Belinda Baker. Belinda Baker, she's a business owner and a woman who believes in the power of communication. And so do I, Belinda. I believe if you can sit down at the table, you can fix the world. I do. So she says that she wants to start communication to provide motivation that causes us to take action. And I love that. So Belinda, it is my honor to bring you into the conversation, Miss Belinda Baker.
Thank you, Kim and Mara and all of the guests that are on. I feel honored to be here and be a part of the conversation because there is power in the conversation. There's an exchange of energy that happens. And with that word of energy, what happened in the moment that COVID kind of came along, and I found myself at work in my salon, which is the place where it is our time, which is how we came to that name, because it is our time where we share and we communicate and we are in each other's presence with good communication. I found that I was like, now what? I don't get to go into the salon. I'm now at home. I'm like, Lord, now what? And what he said is, I need you to rest. I need you to rest. I need you to slow down. And I need you to rest so that you can sufficiently connect with me. So that you can hear deeper inside what I have for you. Because you're so quick to just get busy. There's plenty that you could do in the busy, but in the rest, I have something special for you. And I need you to be still for a minute. And so, Kim, my word that came when I was preparing for this was that he said rest. And that's where I found myself resting, which was a bit uncomfortable for me because I'm a busybody.
Give me a list. I'll do the list. Just don't tell me to stop. Right?
Yes. Exactly. Yes. Exactly. So while that may not seem like a lot to someone else, resting for many of us, and especially being a stylist behind the chair, I hear it all day long where the women are coming in and they have a list, just roll it out. And that list consumes from the time you get up until the time you go to bed. And so in the rest, though, what happened for me was that my mind slowed down and I realized, you don't have to do all of this. What is the purpose behind it? If I don't put God first, then all of that means nothing. So he said, I need you to shift. I need you to reposition. I need you to bring this home to where it all begins with me. I need you to spend time in the conversation with me so that I can pour into you so that you now know exactly what I want you to do. And you do not have to waver with what your purpose is because I'm going to give it to you.
You know, just the way you're describing that, I want in. I want to taste some more of that. I mean, the look on your face and your eyes took on this dance because in giving up the time of busyness, you gain some intimacy with God, into me, see time with God, where you get to see yourself in the midst of that. So share with our listeners what that picture looks like. What did he start downloading to you? Did he give you any specific instructions? Was there anything that was birthed out of this? I'm always excited about pregnancies. And it looks like, just based on hearing your energy and your voice and watching your eyes dance, it seems like he impregnated you with something. So share with us, because you look like you're going to burst. I can tell. Yes. So share with us what daddy gave you, because I know he gave something good.
Oh my goodness. Well, Mara, the first thing he said was, I need you to actually do a 30-day affirmation Facebook Live. I was like, what? He's like, yes, that's what I need you to do. And I was like, no, I don't want to do it. He's like, that's what I need you to do. I was like, really, Lord? He said, yes, that's what I need you to do. And I was like, okay. So because he said do it, I didn't want to just throw it out. So I literally would get up in the morning and I would start my day with him. And then I'd say, where do you want us to go today, Father? What's the word today? And then I would labor over that. And then he would say, okay, here's what I want you to speak on. And then I would spend hours actually researching going through, pulling out words, putting it together, you know, and it was amazing. It was amazing to just watch how it started. The first affirmation was simply, I am worthy. Mm. I am worthy. Because what I didn't realize was that in the midst of being busy for everybody else, I'd lost me. I'd lost me being busy. And so God just kind of took that and he says, no, you are worthy. You are worth the time and the effort to say no. No. So I had to, even with my mother who stays with me, I even had to let her know, Mom, breakfast is at this time to this time, and then I'll have dinner for you here, and then I'll have lunch here, and I'll have dinner here. But I go live at 9 p.m., and so I've got to be ready for that, and I like to prepare between 7 to be ready for 9. And so it created a sense of boundary, but in that boundary, we learned so much more about each other because she tuned in. And then I found out, Mara, that others were tuning in. And what they were looking for the word. They had all of these free webinars on business and self-development, and there was a lot out there. But there were people joining that wanted and needed the word. They needed that, as they said, we need to be nurtured in the word. And so even now, that group that stayed with me for 30 days, and when we ended after 30 days, they were like, we don't want it to end. So we added another 10 days. And then after the 10 days, we meet now every Monday, and we are developing business strategy, faith-based business strategies as a result of my obedience to actually just start with affirmations.
Oh, Daddy just gets gooder and gooder, right? Bad English, but good theology. You cannot outgive God. And I can tell Kim's bursting to ask you a question, so I'm not going to hog anymore. I'm going to let my co-facilitator, Kim Crable, come forward because her mind is blown.
Can you see it? This is my topic. This is where I like to land. Because I do believe when you said I was lost, you know, that's what 99% of my ministry is about, because I know what it feels like to be lost. We get lost in our hurts. We get lost in our past. We get lost in our pains. I can remember the time. And then we start to manifest that in different ways that are so unhealthy. And I was there, so I know what that's like. And so the more lost we get, the busier we are. And in my first book, Burdens and Blessings, I talk about, and this is statistically true, when we don't know who we are, we try to become who everyone expects us to be. And when we don't know what to do, we're trying to do what everyone expects us to do. So I feel like one of the things that is so healing, and to the audience, I pray that you'll just listen to this. And I just pray that you'll just look in your mirror and just say, do I know this person? Because I remember the moment that I didn't know that person. And here's the thing, and Dr. Scott, I bet you would agree with this. When you get to the place to where you don't value your own life, you don't feel that you can value your own life, it's really hard to value the lives of those people around you. And that's another reason of this social unrest that we're seeing. So I believe, Belinda, I believe that people were tuning in on your adventure to find yourself in the Word. It was a perfect setup. You were going to the Word to find yourself, and other people were following you to find themselves. And I believe that's so what the world needs today, is to find ourselves in the Word. Because in the Word, it will never shatter. It will never burn. It will never be thrown away. That's where you know who you are, no matter what's going on around you. Yes. And so that's what I had to say. There's no question in there. It's just, you know, I just love what you're doing. And that's all.
I want to
take it.
Lovely. But that's what it is, because that's our identification, right?
Yes.
Because that doesn't change. No. God's view of us does not change. And so in that, it is a constant that remains the same, and that you would find yourself in that. And as Kim said, people went along for the journey. In addition to that, what's so wonderful about all that you were sharing is, and I heard your heart when you talked about your mom, you know, sometimes those that are the closest to us are the most challenging to have to share this information with, or the reality that we now have boundaries or borders or guardrails to our relationship or our time. You can't just expect me to be like a bellhop and come when you ring the bell for me. But even Daddy had that in mind when he had you start this devotional, this affirmation group, because she went along for the ride too. Mm-hmm. Because you never know how much a person needs what you have to offer until you begin to make it available. So I want to thank you for your obedience. I want to thank you for your wisdom and your tenacity and your focus. And then I want to ask you another question. So you start this journey and people continue to journey with you. As a hairstylist, I know for a fact, when we come in, you're our therapist. Whether you want to be or not, you instantly get dumped on. People come in with their challenges, their problems, their breakups, their heartaches, their kids, and you're hearing all of this. So we get to leave, but you have to hear all of this. So I know that you, all of the places haven't completely reopened, but I do believe you've started to see customers again. Can you share with us and our listeners, what are some healthy things you're doing to ensure that you do not become a dump for people to bring their stuff into you? Not that you won't assist them and help them navigate out of things, but what are you doing to protect that you that you found and located and you have complete confidence in is going to carry you forward? Share with our listeners what you've done so that hopefully it'll be a reminder of what they can do.
Yes, yes. That is such a good overview, because that's exactly, I had to learn what self-care looked like for me. And so in that self-care arena, my faith in what God had did for me needed to now be put into action, because faith is an action word. And so the action that came as a result of that was that those, what I learned in setting boundaries in my home, I then took that into the workforce. That I had to, for the first time ever, I've been in this 34 years. For the first time ever, I actually set boundaries in the time that I was going to work, the days that I chose to work, the offerings that I would put on the table that fit the environment that we have right now. We can't do all things right now. Just like Dr. Scott was saying, there's a limited engagement moment that I want to have, because I don't want to spread. I don't want to spend 4 hours with that customer breathing in, breathing out. And so we had to really take a look at the boundaries. And so for some clients, they were like, wait, you know, what about my weave or my high intense this or... And I was like, we're not offering those right now. What we're going to do, we're going to stick to our guidelines. And these guidelines will allow us to do shampoos, blow dries. And so by setting the boundaries, you know what happened? We're respected so much more because the boundaries were put in place. We communicated those boundaries ahead of time. We explained that it was in the best interest because we love you. We're wearing our masks. We ask you to wear your masks. We have a whole protocol in place. And this is just sharing love. And so I would say to the listeners, boundaries are good. Communicating those boundaries are fantastic. And what it allowed me to do is maintain my rest. I now get good rest, even with going back to work.
So the unrest that we were talking about, you found a way to have your rest. And Belinda, I know we're running out of time, but one of the things that you had written that I'd really like for you to hit on it, your talk about, it says that God called you to this moment of rest so that he could, so that you would have room for him to reveal his intent to you.
Yes. You can't put more water in a cup that's already full. being busy prohibited God from being able to deposit more into me. And as soon as I rested, and as soon as I released, as soon as I, through my prayer, got rid of some of the, as you were saying, Maura, earlier, stuff that I was carrying from hearing from others and praying, God needed all of that out of the way so that he could deposit into me. And the word that I use with that is that I needed to recalibrate what was really important. I needed to really, you know, recalibrate that, you know, there's only 24 hours in a day. So choose wisely what and how I was going to use that and make sure that God was always in front of that so that the purpose that was for me could be revealed through him. And that's what that meant.
Oh, it's rich, rich, rich. You know, there's this phrase, and I didn't write it, but I sure love it. There are three things that people want to know. And this goes for husbands and wives, wives and husbands, parents and children, or even at your place of employment. Three things they want to know: who's in control, are there any rules, and will they be enforced? And when you say you're in control, you know, and you have rules, if you don't enforce them, it's not only bad for the children who are in the household who need the structure, it's not only bad for the person you may be courting or dating, because they are perceiving you in a different light if you don't enforce them. If you say this and you don't, so now they can push you apart. But there was a bigger thing that you said in all that you've been saying, and I want to run this point, drive this point home to our listeners. You were saying no to all of these things in order to say yes in all capital letters with sparkles around them to God and you. And what better gift can one give to oneself than to put all of that stuff aside and focus on him, because he gives you back the time that you would have spent doing the nothing, or as my mom say, piffling around. I just piffled around today, you know, because daddy redeems the time, right? And so when we put him first love, yes, fly. When we fly with him at the first of the day or at the beginning of whatever we've got going on, and he's the priority for the schedule because he is the schedule, God then works everything out for who's good? You're good. And then we just as bystanders, we get to have a sip from your saucer, baby, because you are overflowing. You are overflowing. And so we absolutely love that. Belinda, thank you so much for sharing. I want to ask if anybody had any questions. Scott, it looks like you might have something you want to say. I'm not sure, but I want to open it up and allow our other hosts to kind of chime in if there's something you want to hit on or compliment or even just ask a question about.
Belinda, I'd like to just thank you. Over the course of my career, I've had more than one patient come in that was told by their hairdresser that they had a bump they felt or a spot, you know, and I know listening to you talk that you've counseled so many people just by listening to them, and I'm sure giving them great advice. So I think you've clearly impacted as many people as any physician or nurse. So I just wanted to thank you for your career. I mean, I know you've touched so many people.
Thank you. Thank you. Oh.
I don't know what I do. Thank you for your service as well. Well, because it's part of the whole package, like Dr. Scott's talking about your health, but how you feel about yourself is imparted actually in your physical appearance. I know I feel better when I get my hair dyed. I looked like a skunk up until about 3 weeks ago. I was like, oh my goodness, you know, it's a good thing I'm on radio and not television, because I did not want anybody to see me right now. My hair needed to be dyed. I dye my hair, you know, and just getting real here. So, you know, I still have man hands. I'm waiting for our nail salons to come out. So what you do, and it's true, and I don't know why it is, but it really is true, Belinda. You're sort of like the bartender and, you know, in a hairdresser shop, and I don't know why we feel like we can just open up, maybe because we're relaxed and we're being cared for, that we feel like we can open up our lives to you, to another window. And it's, you don't rely on, but it's so nice. It's like me time when you go to the hair salon. And right. So thank you for your service, because I never really realized how essential you were and what you do until we had this pandemic. So thank you so much.
And a lot of it is just the proximity. You know, there's just that closeness. Mm-hmm. Brings in such a warmth, and that's a lot of it. You spend so much time just being so close to them. Before we switch over, before Mara brings in our next guest, and I know she wants to thank you as well, Belinda, but you know, one of the things that I think that you've called our audience to, and all of us, is to, in the midst of the busyness, we all have lots of things to do, and we can, you know, I love a list. I love to be able to mark off the list. It feels so good to be able to say, I did it. I'm one of those, if I did something during the day and it wasn't on the list, I'll probably put it on the list.
Add it on.
Just, and there's a term for that we can talk about. There's a whole counseling program. But what I love, and what I hope the people will hear, is that, you know, just stop and honor God with your time. I think about, you know, I have two adult children, two boys, and, you know, there's nothing that makes my heart sore any more than when one calls and says, hey, I just want to talk to you. Nothing wrong. You know, it's like the best feeling. And I think how Father God must feel when we just sit with him and just say, I just want to be with you. I just want to be in your presence. I want to glean from you. I want to be more like you. And so I just thank you so much for calling us to that. It makes me think of that quote from Billy Graham where he says, I have so much to do today. I must spend the first 3 hours in prayer. And so you've guided us to that, and you've been a memory to that and an inspiration through your conversation. So thank you so much for that.
Thank you, Kim. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I'm taking away so many nuggets from your conversation of recalibrating, which I think is of vital importance. And I wrote a book called Beyond Blessed because I realized that Webster Dictionary didn't have a word for who I was and what I was in God. And mm-hmm. And as you were opening up your life to talk about how he began to feel when you gave up all this other stuff, because those things weren't the things that were sustaining you, and they were definitely not the things that were going to keep you going forward on the journey. But God showed you, not only are you blessed, but you are beyond blessed, Belinda. And as a result of your blessings, as I mentioned, we're all able to have a sip from your saucer, and all of us are recognizing and reimagining what our day could look like if we give our day back to God and let him set the schedule and organize it. Because when we do that, it's in the manufacturer's hand, and all vehicles, all tools, all everything works better when you know what the manufacturer says about the product, right? So thank you. God bless you. Thank you. And I'm going to go ahead and sweep us on into this next guest, because she actually thanked you for your service, Belinda. And so while I'm on that note, I'm going to taste that word service, because our next guest is none other than Gail Metzbauer. And she is the host of the Up to Me radio magazine show. And her word is actually service. And now most of you may know her as Gabby G for her gift of gab. Gail actually also loves to honor others by giving them a platform to tell their stories, to inspire, to educate our listeners. So would you be so kind to put your hands together in a virtual hand clap for none other than Gail Metzbauer. Welcome to the conversation, Gail.
Thank you so much for having me. I am telling you what, I am feeling the love tonight. I don't know about all of you. I'm so grateful. And thank you so much, Melinda, and our executive producer, Melinda Davis, and our wonderful, illustrious moderators, Mara and Kim. And I don't know how I'm going to, you know, come behind wonderful Belinda and Dr. Scott Clitheroe, because so much wisdom from them that I learned from just by sitting here and listening to them, and they're a hard act to follow. So thank you for having me. It's an honor and a pleasure.
Well, we are excited because we know you've got nuggets and wisdom just packaged inside of you. So we're going to go ahead and unpack it right now. Your gift of selflessness and service challenges others in the most wonderful way, Gail. What can we do to eliminate maybe the overwhelming feelings and stop the never-ending loop of panic that keeps playing over and over in our mind? And I know because your gift is, your word is service, and that's your heart, you are probably one of the best suited people to tell us to, how to mute all of that in order to get to a place at the end of my chapters, it's called a piece of peace. So share with us some of the best ways that we can stop that overwhelmed feeling and stop that feeling of panic and that loop that we tend to hit when something goes wrong. Can you share with us how we might be able to facilitate that?
Yes, and actually that's such a great question, and I'm so glad you asked it, because actually it happened to me, as it probably has to a lot of you, hearing that loop all the time on the television. It's discouraging. It starts to be a little scary, and you're like, this is getting real. People are losing their jobs. This is becoming real. And how is that going to affect me? And so I heard the Lord say to me, turn off the loop, turn off the television, and take your mind off of your circumstances. And just like he did with you, Belinda, he said, focus on me, get in my word, and hear what I want to instruct you for you. And so I began to ask the Lord, what can I do for my own peace? And he said, I want you to serve. And I said, but how can I serve during a lockdown? How am I able to do that? And so he said to me, I want you to take a walk. And so I began to take a walk around in my neighborhood, and I'm new in my neighborhood. I moved about a year ago to New England. I live in the woods. We have walking trails. I only knew I live in a cul-de-sac, so I only knew my neighbors that were on either side. I haven't gotten out too much because I moved during the winter time and not too many people are out. So I began to walk, and as I walked around my neighborhood, I began to see these little rocks, and they were hand painted. And at first the rocks were cute little pictures like ducks. It was starting to, the weather was starting to lift. So it was getting a little bit warmer, and it was Easter time. So I saw little ducks, rainbows, butterflies, one words that said calm, be kind, love, joy, peace. And I thought, oh, who's doing this? This is something, because you could tell that they were strategically placed around the neighborhood, in the walking trails, on the rocks. In New England, we have a lot of rock walls because it's a lot of rocks are indigenous to our area. So a lot of people have natural rock walls. So at the entrance of people's homes, at their rock wall, she would place little notes. As the pandemic and the lockdown, I should say, as the lockdowns became more and more prolific and a little bit longer, the rocks and the messages on the rocks became more and more pronounced and purposeful. And I just want to name a couple of my very favorites, because they just lifted my spirits, and they spoke to me through the Lord, or the Lord spoke to me through these rocks. And one of my very favorite rocks is an oval rock about this big. And I know our viewers can't hear, so I'm going to try and describe it for you. So I had this oval rock that I saw, and it's painted blue, and it had a beautiful dove flying off to the distance. And there were two quotes. One of the quotes at the top in black said, what if I fall? But the quote underneath it said, oh, my darling, what if you fly? And I just went, oh, my Lord, I love that. And as people were walking past me, because other people were getting out to walk, there wasn't not a whole lot to do, I would say, did you see that rock over there? And someone would say, did you see the rock down there? Where do you get down to the other end of the corner? You'll see this other rock. And one of the other rocks was a blue book or a book that was painted on this rock. And it said, I don't mean to spoil the end of the story, but everything is going to be okay. And I just went, like, these are awesome. On my rock, I noticed that like a couple of days later on mine, they had placed a rock. I said, oh, I got a rock on my rock wall. And it was painted blue and it said, you make the world a better place. And I'm like, who is doing this? Because this is like an angel in her neighborhood. And it was neighbors that I hadn't met yet. I'm like, who are these angels, Lord? And so I was invited by one of the neighbors I had met and started a rapport with. She said, I'm going to have a little girls cocktail party outside, just three of us. And she lived in a Victorian house on the hill, and she has all these cherub sculptures everywhere because she loves angels. And in one of the angels' hearts was a heart-shaped rock. She's also a decorator and a designer. And she's a Christian, so there was a rock in hers, on her rock wall, and it said, it was a stained glass window, and it said, be the designer of your own life. And so she was beginning, I said, I need to know who this woman is, because she is like hand-picking beautiful rocks for messages for the people in our neighborhood. So I went to this wonderful cocktail party. It was just this wonderful woman named Susan and myself and this girl named Dawn. And I found out that she was the rock lady. I said, oh my gosh, you're the rock lady. I can't tell you the joy that you have given me through your rock. So I began to ask her, how did you think about doing this? And she said, it was really very practical. She said, I wanted to find a way to serve. And my husband and I, during the pandemic, were trying to keep ourselves busy because we're working remotely. And so we decided to do the projects we've been putting off, and we were putting in a new sidewalk. And because we have a lot of rocks underneath the earth, I had all these rocks, and we were also painting. And she said, I had all this extra paint. And she said to her husband, what am I going to do with all this, these paint and all these rocks? And the Holy Spirit said to her, to use these rocks to bring joy and to uplift people. Spirits in our neighborhood. I said, you have no idea the ministry that you had. And she goes, I'm starting to get a little upset though, because she said, people are taking my rocks. And I said, they're not, you know, I said, you know what? You need to feel good about that, because people are taking these rocks because they need them. Mm-hmm. They're not taking them to take them and to steal your joy or the gifting to other people in the neighborhood. They're taking them because they're speaking to them and they need them. It's a ministry and it's a gift that you're giving them. So this really started to catch on and inspire other people in my neighborhood, the children who were at home on the lockdown, their parents, a lot of them are teachers. And so they were inspiring all of their kids to write notes and put them in their mailbox. So I got two notes on a white piece of paper, and it was a smiley face on one side, and the other said, a smile for my neighbor. And I thought, Lord, and little Katie, and her mother told me that Katie just learned to write her name, and she was so excited to write these notes and put them in our neighbor's mailboxes. And so the Lord said to me, how can you serve all these little opportunities and ways to just look around you? You don't, if, you know, people are out of work, they're, perhaps their incomes have been cut, or they've lost their jobs because of this. He said, you don't have to give monetarily. You just give of your heart and with simple things that are around you. This woman like changed our neighborhood and helped me to meet these wonderful people in my neighborhood. I just fell in love with them. And so I felt so secure and good, because here in a new neighborhood where in the winter, I didn't know anyone for a good year. And I thought, I have all these wonderful angels in my neighborhood. And so I was so grateful and so thankful.
And Gail, just to bring another point home, something that I know about you, you moved there shortly after your father passed away.
That's correct.
So, explain perhaps what this meant to you. I mean, what were your feelings? Of course, you know, losing a parent is devastating. So I can only imagine what your emotional state was like as to why these rocks, unbeknownst to you, would lift your spirit the way that they did.
Yeah, that's such a good point, because we spent a year or so, I guess a year and a half, taking care of my father. My sisters and brothers, I have nine sisters and brothers. Wow. And yes, I come from a very, very large family. My nieces and nephews, I have like 25 nieces and nephews, about 25 great nieces and nephews. So We didn't want to put our father in a nursing home. We all just went on the schedule and took care of my father. And on the heels of that, my father passed away on my moving day. So I was not able to say goodbye to him in person. I had to do it through face chat. And then I moved a week before Christmas. So I was very busy getting my house ready. And I had already, and just revert back to Belinda for a moment, where she said the Lord wanted you to rest. Well, I had taken a year off from working and trying to grieve from my father's passing and all the caretaking that we had done and just processing all of that. And so I was really ready to get out and start to keep my mind busy, to re-enter the workforce and to be around people again. And then the lockdown came. So then I wasn't able to get out and look for a job. And I just, the Lord knows me. He knows I need that. People energize me. I'm an extrovert. People energize me. And so I was getting a little depressed, to be honest with you, just being stuck in my house. My dad's gone. I moved away from my family. I moved out of state. So I don't have my family around me. My husband and my son and my sweet little dog, but I didn't have my 9 sisters and brothers and we were used to seeing each other every single day.
And I wanted to, Gail, I think what you're saying right now is I think you're speaking for so many people. I think you're sharing so many stories. I think it's coming out from your experience, but I think so many of our listeners are really leaning in to what you're saying, going, oh my gosh, has she been peeking through my windows? That's what I've been going through because of the loss and, the sadness and then, being stuck in your home, so to speak, safe in your home. So how did you, what it seems to me that the hope that you're extending to all these who are leaning in now, I think, and you put it in your words, but what is the hope? Is it to look around? I mean, your story makes me think of David, picked up the stones and used Samson, he picked up the jawbone. Are you saying to us, that look around and see what's already there and get busy? Is that the message of hope?
That's what I was going to say. So the Lord said, to look around and use the simple things all around you. And so I began for myself, I asked the Lord, how can I serve then the way that Dawn served, the way my neighbors were serving each other? How can I serve out in the world if we're in a lockdown? So he said, just in your everyday activities, I asked him to show me or give me an opportunity. As I went out, I was the point person grocery shopping and all of that. And don't you know, almost every single day that I went out, the Lord gave me a small way that I could give to someone else. And Dr. Scott, you alluded to that as well. You said, find an alternative way to give. Call somebody on the phone because people are lonely. Kim, you said it yourself. You just love it when your boys call and say, hey, I'm just calling because I miss you. I want to hear your voice. People are lonely. Calling someone is a very easy thing to do.
It seems simple, but it is huge for the person that's receiving it. Yes. And Gail, one of the things that we love about you is you're an amazing storyteller. Yes. And that's why the format of your show allows and enables other people to come in and share their stories. And I know our listeners, as well as all of those that are sharing this wonderful panel tonight, have been blessed and touched in an indelible way, because the stories that you share they live on. We can visually see those rocks and see Dawn the rock lady. We can hear, we can see all of the imagery because you tell the stories in such a rich way. And we want to thank you for your contributions to this conversation, but more importantly, your vulnerability in sharing what space and place you were in when you got there. But God, as he always does, meets us exactly where we are to give us what we need in that time, and then broadens the lens so that we can pan out and see, okay, now that you've got yours, what can you do to help somebody else? So thank you so much for your contribution, for your generosity, and your transparency. Lovely people, we have had a fantastic time, but as with all good things, they must come to an end. But wait, there's more. because of course this is just part one, and we want you to lean in and bring your notebooks and everything that you need to the next conversation, part two, and then part three, because we're going to go into some deeper things. But before we do that, we want you to continue the conversation with our host by going to uptomeradio.com. That's uptomeradio.com, where you can find all of our show hosts and you can continue the conversation with them, as well as follow them and subscribe to all of our podcasts, those that resonated with you. We also want to remind each and every one of our roundtable panelists that they're going to be sharing additional insights. And so if you have questions about some of the things that they talked about here, you can actually chime on at our website. And I've received messages where people have wanted to be a guest on my show because something resonated with them. And we want to unpack these things that you want to know more about. And so our conversation continues. And right now I'm going to toss this to the co-facilitator, Kim Crable, which of course, she's the host of Coffee with Kim, and she's going to go ahead and button this thing up for us. And I've enjoyed being your co-facilitator for tonight, and I look forward to our conversation on tomorrow. Kim Crable, take it away.
Thank you so much, Mara. And for each of our guests, thank you so very much. I know how valuable your time is. I know Dr. Scott slid in from being in the hospital. And so everybody's so busy, and we thank you. And for the listeners, we thank you for listening. We know that you're busy, and to take this time to share this with us. And we hope that you will send us your input. But for tonight, we want to conclude this first part of this three-part series. And you know, as I'm thinking, trying to put all this together, I think about the time that I bought new window treatments. I had new window treatments made, and I moved into a new home, and I was trying to put them up. I was thinking, I can do this, I can do this. And before long, I had a mess. I mean, it was just a mess. And I was asking myself, what happened? What happened? And, you know, that's how we started this show. What has happened? What is going on? There is a mess going on, and we don't really know what to do with it. Well, as I worked with those window treatments, the more I worked and the more I was determined, the greater the mess became. And finally, once I realized that it was too big for me, I called the lady who sewed, the seamstress, and I said, you've got to come to my rescue. So shortly, she walked into my house, and I will tell you all, she looked at it, she picked up all of the material with a few flicks of her hands. All of a sudden, everything is laid out, and it's just the way it's supposed to be. And I looked at her, and I said, how did you do that? And she said, but oh dear, I made them, so I had to fix them. Friends, we look at this world, and we think it is a mess. But let us remember, like what Dr. Scott said, this is going to be over. We're going to get through this. But here's the thing. Are we going to get through it and be the same that we are? Or are we going to come through it with a message? God tells us that what we're in is even bigger than us. Jesus tells us in Matthew 19:26, he looked at the people who were in a mess, his disciples, and he says, guys, with you all, this is impossible. And we have to look at the situations we're in, and we're going, this is impossible. But then he went on to say, but with me, all things are possible. He is the creator. He is the one who made this. He is the one who can step in. But we must humble ourselves under the mighty hand of his love and his grace. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 12:26 that he says, I will shake all things that can be shaken so that what cannot be shaken will stand. God is doing something new. He wants us to get rid of all this pride and all this racial tension and all this ugliness and this meanness. And maybe this COVID that Dr. Scott talked about, maybe it's the one thing that really is going to turn out to be, besides the deaths and the illnesses, we can allow it to become something that there's a beautiful message wrapped inside. If we just come to him and say, God, you have promised in Isaiah 43:19 that you're going to do a new thing. Please let that new thing start with us.
Yes.
Let us look in the mirror like Belinda called us to. Let us look in that mirror and say, who am I? Am I lost? Am I living God's life? Am I living the life that he wants me to live? Belinda says, just take some time and be with him. Just sit in his presence. Make room so he can speak. And then Gail comes in with that beautiful message. And then once he speaks, be expedient about it. Be urgent about it. Do whatever God has put around you. Let's do that. Let's allow the new thing to arise, a new hope, new dreams, a new peace, a new place for us, a new relationship with Him. Not that we bring about a new world, but that we go back to the world that He intended it to be. Amen. So listeners, I just thank you so much for joining us tonight. And I just pray right now that God touches your heart in a mighty way, that we conclude this first part series where you have been called back to who you are, to stand before the God that we know that He is, full of grace and mercy and love. The one who just looks at us and says, I can handle that. I can fix that. Let's just join forces and let's let Him take over and do a new work. He says He has prepared us. Help us to listen. Thank you so much, listeners, for joining us. And I'm going to, what a privilege it is, again, to say thank you to my co-host and to each of these people of great wisdom. Thank you all so much for joining us. And I know together we are so thankful and honored that we fall under the direction of our executive director, Melinda Davis of Up to Me Radio, who had this vision and who brought us all together to speak on this very important subject. So Melinda, with great gratitude, we all give it back to you to close out this first part of our three-part series.
Wow, wow, wow. What an opening series. This was just phenomenal. I was writing, I was listening intently and writing, and my whole pad is full of messaging and things that you all said. But I'm just going to summarize this, because what I heard was, your health is your wealth. Reclaim your time. Rest, be quiet, and still, so you can receive your assignment, okay? I want to leave everybody with that. And listeners, we want to hear from you. Were you inspired in any way? Did this give you hope in any way? Just let us know, because we can. If we can be better, we can do better as a people. Yes. So that's our hashtag. Use the hashtag, be better, do better, and talk to us. Communicate. We're on Facebook at Up to Me Radio. We're on Instagram at Up to Me Radio. And we're even on Twitter. But be kind with your tweets. Because we want to spread love and hope. So with that, I want to say thank you. We dedicate this show to Dr. Clitherell and all of the frontline medical personnel who are doing an heroic job. We thank all of the frontline essential, Belinda, our beauty salon, our hairdressers. We need you. We love you. And we also need midwives. We got to birth all of these ideas. So we thank Mara for helping us to birth. And Kim, we need God's word. We need the scripture. We need to connect all the things that we're feeling and hoping connected to the word. Yes. And to our storyteller, thank you. The inspiration is what's going to gain us the peace that we need to be able to turn our love into hope and into action. So with that, tune in for our next episode and be inspired. God, thank you.
Are you listening?